Welcome to Redacted on this Tuesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
All of the internet is down. All of Amazon Web Services has collapsed. That means almost the entire internet is down. If you're wondering why we started just a few moments late, because we had to scramble to use some backup stuff that we normally don't have to use. So we got it up and running, but YouTube is up and running. Rumble is running on Rumble Cloud. They don't rely on Amazon. So anyway, it's good to be here. We've got a lot of news to get to here on your Tuesday. This massive UFO disclosure press conference. There's a lot of major pieces coming out about this. I think this was an absolutely historic day in Washington, D.C. It was, the press conference was nearly 4 hours long.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
Excuse me.
The press conference, keep going.
No, you keep going.
The press conference, all right, let's do that again.
I'm sorry, you guys.
All right. Welcome into Redacted on this Tuesday. So glad to see you here. The internet has been failing all day. There's been all sorts of hay fever going on, but we've got a jam-packed show for you on this Tuesday. There was a major UFO whistleblower event in Washington, D.C. yesterday. I think it was a major, really a historic day. The press conference was about 4 hours long, or close to 4 hours long. We're going to go through a lot of it for you, save you the time as we've gone through all of it. There are some major revelations that have come out of this. Congress now, of course, asking for answers in all of this, and we'll get this testimony directly from these whistleblowers. These are high-level members of the military. Many of these people who have had their lives ruined as a result of what people have done to them as a result of it, being forced to sign non-disclosure agreements for
the
stuff that they've seen.
You're giving the whole story.
I know, this is
supposed to be a tease.
Okay.
We are going to get to that. We also are going to tell you about the United States sending depleted uranium to Ukraine, something we have been predicting for a long time, and now the Wall Street Journal pretending they have an exclusive about it. We are also going to tell you about climate change as it results to war, because, you know, the mainstream media is willing to sort of follow around these little climate change stories that, you know, are clickable and fun, and totally ignore the impact of on the climate of war. That plus the White House Pride event and how one person actually did get banned for inappropriate behavior. Shocker. We're going to tell you all that and more as Redacted starts right now.
All right. Welcome in, everyone. So we've got a very busy show for you. As I mentioned, like half the internet is down. It's amazing to me that Amazon Web Services, which runs almost the entire internet, in fact, it runs the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, the CIA is run by Amazon Web Services.
Okay. They need a redundancy.
That's right.
I would say we're having to sort of put our, you know, certain programs we rely on do use this service and others we don't. So we're putting things together, as my grandma would say, with spit and glue.
Yeah, like we use Kraft. Kraft is all of our show notes and our archives. So we use Kraft for a lot of our back end. Kraft runs on Amazon Web Services. So our entire show notes, all of the notes and research from today's show, basically held where some of us can load it, some of us can't. What else is down? Parsec is down, which allows our remote team to connect to our computer. So we've had to do a whole workaround here. So it's crazy. Half the internet is down. But I should mention Amazon.com is running. So it's amazing. Amazon Web Services is totally down, but Amazon.com is still running. How does that work? What are they running it on?
I don't know.
Google? They run it on Google Web Services?
They don't
run
priority.
It on crappy Amazon servers, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Before we move into the stories we're about to talk about, we want to tell you about our newsletter, because that is still up and running. You can find it at redacted.inc. And it comes to you every morning, Monday through Thursday, which is the same days we do this show. And it covers a lot of the same stories we're going to cover today. I like for it to be for you sort of a reference guide, because a lot of times we get asked for links to the things we're talking about. because you are all studious learners like we are, and we appreciate that. And when people say, where can I read this for myself to come up with my own opinion? I love it. The newsletter is a great place for that. Plus, we have other kind of fun tidbits, other smaller stories. We can't get to them all. So we usually cover four or five stories in our live show, but the newsletter has a lot more. And I think you'll enjoy it. It's free, totally free. Redacted.inc.
Redacted.inc. All right, let's talk about this big UFO event in Washington, D.C. We're going to highlight and document the historic day in Washington, D.C., where multiple UFO whistleblowers came forward to share their story at the press club. Dr. Stephen Greer, his Disclosure Project, of course, you'll remember many moons ago, over a decade ago, he held one of these events before, and he kind of started off by explaining that the world kind of wasn't ready for that press conference at the time. Members of Congress and so forth weren't really ready for the disclosure, and the people that came forward, those testimonies that came forward that day at that event. So this whole event took over 3 hours, close to 4 hours, with jaw-dropping moments. I mean, bombshell moments. I want to show you a number of those moments now, and I'm going to save the most amazing, what I believe is the most amazing, for the end. So you got to stick around for this. So anyway, Dr. Greer started off by explaining that they know these are the things they've turned over to Congress, Senate, and the White House for part of this testimony. Here's the list of things that they sent out, which is the Disclosure Project slide. Project Intelligence Archive and contains government documents from the United States, Canada, Australia, Russia, the UK, and more, 145 top secret bases, 752 witnesses from military corporate government solutions, files with witness testimony and some video with supporting documents and information, 121 UF crash retrieval cases. Some documents includes name of witness, et cetera, et cetera. So he went through all of this, explaining that this is the stuff they were handing over. Here is Dr. Stephen Greer, though, showing the map locations of these secret bases in the United States. Look at the number of secret military bases inside the United States and what's being worked on at these secret military bases from witnesses who've come forward and have actually worked at these bases. Watch.
Operations have happened. I'm saying illegal because we can prove that this information, as Senator Inouye said, you'll hear his statement in a moment, has been run by a very shadowy, deep black operation. And we're not talking the legal black budget of the United States. We're talking about projects that presidents and CIA directors and secretaries of defense and members of the Congress who have a need to know and are cleared TSSCI in SCIFs, secure compartmented information facilities, have been blatantly either gaslit, denied access. That is the foundation of everything we've done, is that these projects are a priori illegal and therefore unconstitutional and have to be reined in, because not doing so is a threat to the national security. So here is your list. I'm not going to go through 145 sites. Some of them are black sites. Some of them are bases you know about, like Wright-Patterson, Edwards, Nellis, Area 51, so-called. But all of them are based on witness testimony and intelligence we've gathered over the last 30 years, and it's time for it to be disclosed.
So someone in the chat says, Clayton, I can't believe, why are you spreading this garbage? It's not garbage. This is perhaps one of the biggest stories of all time. And on top of it, it is a crime. These are crimes that are being committed against Americans. People, mass murder, abduction, witness tampering, whistleblower tampering. The list is endless, and we're going to go through all of these crimes in just a moment. And people whose lives have been ruined as a result of it, being forced to sign non-disclosure agreements, members of the military who've had their lives destroyed as a result of this. So I care about the veterans. I care about these people who worked on these projects and have had their lives ruined. And also, it's one of the biggest stories of all time. And so when you say propaganda, what you need to understand is there's many levels to this that we all must understand and unpack this. So there's misinformation that's being pushed out on this, right? There's clouds of deceit that have been pushed out on this in order to distract you from certain things. But these people are real and these projects are real, and we just better get over that. Like, just stop saying that. Just let's move on from that. It's now here. It's fact. We have this information. These people have come forward. We are in the second phase of it. That ship has already sailed. So here is Dr. Stephen Greer.
Can I just push you on this map that he has with all the red dots? These are bases that are actively working on UFO projects. UFO. These are not just sightings, right?
Because these are military bases. Many of them we know, right? Right, Patterson Air Force Base, okay. Edwards Air Force, but many of them on this map are black sites that we don't know about. So that was included in this map. And he also showed around the world. So these are not just United States military bases. These are black sites in other parts of the world.
In other countries, because he mentions Russia. Mm-hmm. But then when you look at the map, I'm just playing it back. There's no bases in Africa at all. None in the Middle East.
That we know of.
One in Pakistan.
That we know of.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm just curious about.
So I don't know on all of them, but these are the ones that they have actual human beings who've confirmed this, have, you know, shown them documents, videos, security badges for these black sites, all sorts of testimony. And by the way, these people have then gone to Congress and submitted their testimony to Congress, which you can go to prison for lying to Congress. Like, you don't just do that if you don't actually have some facts to back that up. These whistleblowers who've come forward, and the reason they've come forward is because the whistleblower protection laws, they were silenced before that, before the whistleblower protection laws. That's why they're now able to come forward. So Greer makes the point that alien craft, so the first of many reasons here, the whistleblowers haven't come forward before is because in many cases, their lives were threatened. They were told they would be killed if they came forward on the stuff that they saw. They're worried about their family's protection. They're worried about losing their pensions. Many of them signed 80-year non-disclosure agreements. 80-year non-disclosure agreements to keep quiet about it. Greer makes the point that the alien craft we have are not the issue. It's the deep state, the off-the-books operations that is running all of this. They've been they have their own versions of these craft. They're carrying this out. And the White House is kept out of it. Congress has been kept out of it and in the dark about it. And you're starting to hear more of this because now Congress is demanding answers because they're noticing and found out that a lot of these projects are black book. They're not on the money that they approved, and they're demanding answers about it. Good for them. Here's what Stephen Greer says about that.
But this object was retrieved because it became disabled. Some of these retrieval operations are not extraterrestrial, but they would like sometimes the public to think maybe it was, because the bigger secret, I'll tell you right now, is not the extraterrestrial issue. It's these technologies, which an unsupervised and frankly illegal operation have, which is a threat to the national security, period. This we will prove. And this is a bigger threat, the existence of these in the hands of unsupervised operations that have escaped the oversight of the president of the office of the president and the Congress since 1956 to 1960.
And so he then explains the difference between the man-made craft and the ones of extraterrestrial origin, which we've been reverse engineering for years, since the 1940s. And he shows the man-made side by side. So it's important to understand, yes, there are the alien craft that we have. We know that. That's without a doubt. But then we're also been reverse engineering them, and they look close, but not totally like them. So here he gives an example of the differences here.
If I had time, I would run through. We can go through very quickly. I think people in the military and in Congress and the American people need to know the difference between the man-made advanced technologies and how they look and the extraterrestrial vehicles. We're going to run through a side-by-side. You can look and see ET one on the left, seamless. It is actually created in a material science and technology we don't have time to go into, but we understand that. Versus the man-made ones that have components, parts, wires, and what have you. Next, and again. And then you hear on the right, that is the Norton Air Force Base, 1988 air show, classified. We have a witness who was in there, and these on the right are man-made. They were late Mercury era, 59 through early 60s in their construction, because we had mastered gravity control in October 1954.
So he goes on from there. Now, one of the most explosive whistleblowers is a member of the military, United States Marine. They're decorated United States Marine. U.S. Marine assigned to the Philippines. The platoon of six men discovered a UFO. They came across it after the tsunami and subsequent earthquake. earthquake and then subsequent tsunami in the Philippines and Indonesia. It was being used in some kind of human trafficking operation. And this is where this story is gets crazy. This craft was likely a man-made reverse engineer craft, off the books craft. And this is a stunning story. Even the Daily Mail confirmed this story yesterday. Exclusive: Marine vet breaks 14-year silence to make astonishing claim that his six-man unit saw a hovering octagonal UFO being loaded with weapons by unmarked U.S. forces who threatened them at gunpoint while serving in Indonesia in 2009. So the Marine is Michael Herrera, and he came forward yesterday for the first time and told us this story. Listen.
Thank you all for being here. What I'm about to tell you hasn't been something that I've disclosed until recently in the help of Dr. Greer, among other people, so I appreciate your help with this. In 2009, my unit, which was the most decorated infantry battalion in the entire Marine Corps, which was 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines, was called in to do humanitarian assistance operations out in the Philippines, which was Operation Kitsana. And we flew to the southwestern part of the city, which is Padang. Looked a lot different through satellite imagery that I've recently seen. Back then is a lot different, especially because most of it was decimated, on fire, rubble, flooded, you name it, basically the worst kind of scenario you could ever see. We trekked up about 300 meters. When we got to this high point, I was taking video camera, and I had actually turned to the north, which just kind of slopes down. And right there was something that stuck out like a sore thumb, especially with jungle terrain, things like that, vegetation, very green stuff, was something that stuck out so well. It's always going to be basically imprisoned in my mind for the rest of my life, and it has been for 14 years, was something that was rotating, and it was transitioning between colors like a light matte gray as well as a dark matte black. You can see that the craft here actually had was roughly about 300 feet. And the reason why I know this is because you could fit three of the helicopters that we flew in on underneath this craft. And it had an audible hum to it, kind of like a guitar amp if you were to unplug that, or like a transformer. It's very audible. If I was to hear that sound again, I could tell you, okay, it's probably this thing or something similar to that. It's very distinct. And the way that it was floating, which was about 10, 15, 20 feet off the ground, it was kind of a very eerie thing to see because I've never seen anything like that in my life. When we got up to that point, we were then intercepted by a team of soldiers or rogue military force, if you will. The most concerning thing about this is they all had American dialects. They had American gear. They had OTVs, black. They had black camouflage. They had very similar setups to what we had, but more high speed, something what you would see special operation groups these days have. They had no insignias on. They had no ranks. They had nothing that would signify who they were. They had black ball caps. They had M4A4s that were equipped with ACOGs, which was a step up from what we were currently issued, as well as PEC-16 IR illumination devices that you use for night vision and night patrols, things like that. So we were engaged. We had eight of them put the drop on us. You could audibly hear them flow the safety selectors off. They basically started screaming at us, telling us what we were doing. We were not allowed to be there. Who were we with? What were we doing there? Threatened that they could kill us right then and there. We could get lost in the jungle. They could throw us out of a helicopter if they needed to. It was very nerve-wracking at that point, especially looking to my fellow Marines and seeing the reactions on their faces, too. We were all freaking scared. At that time, there was four of these trucks, which were F-350s. They were up-armored. They were pretty beefy. They had weapon cases that I've seen before because of something that we've actually loaded weapons into. They had two of them that were in the back of each truck. They also had these containers that was illustrated right here, which, come to find out through recent revelations from yesterday from somebody who came forward to Dr. Greer, I don't know who they are, but what they had told him and what he has told me is that this gentleman knows exactly what these were used for because they had like a cylinder on the front, which is either for oxygen or what I hypothesized was for vacuum sealing, which lead me to suspect that they were smuggling narcotics or drugs. Come to find out it's more disturbing than that. This gentleman has firsthand account with this and says that it was for people. It's very disheartening, especially because that part of the world have already gotten ravaged, and it's something that is very hard to see right now because of what I've witnessed, and it's very disheartening. And this is why I'm up here.
So human trafficking. So using these craft, has nothing to do with aliens. These are reverse engineered from that technology. And these off the books people are using this for human trafficking purposes. That's what he saw with his fellow Marines, whose lives were then threatened. So, by the way, I love in the chat when people are like, well, this one person keeps typing it over and over again. Jay Green says, evidence or a testimony is not evidence. Is that true? In a court of law, isn't testimony evidence?
Yeah, but I don't think it's...
But that's not the only thing. We should be clear. I mentioned off the top all of the documents, video evidence, photo evidence, government document proof, eyewitness testimony.
Okay, but what we're seeing along with this testimony right now is drawings.
Right. Well, exactly. And he also goes on to explain how he filmed it that day. He filmed it. He went back to the base.
Okay. Why don't we get to see that?
I'm telling you. And he had the six of the Marines that were there that day all had their cameras and phones taken from them when they got back. He had it in his locker, in his foot locker, with stuff on top of it. And you can watch the full video of this. I had to clip it down. He speaks for 20 minutes. We could be here all night. He clipped it. They took his memory card out. And they took his battery from his camera. So they removed his memory card, took it, and they left it there on top, empty. And so did the other five Marines that also were there that day. None of the other Marines in that group had anything taken from them or manipulated. It was the six who were there that day that saw that craft.
Yeah.
So So that's that. And then he was told a few days later, in early December, he was back at Camp Hansen in Okinawa, Japan. He was told to report to the office, and where he found an Air Force lieutenant in full uniform, but no name tag. And he wouldn't tell him his name. And he starts telling me, you're allowed to talk about what happened. You're not allowed to talk about what happened, not to your chain of command, not even a general, he says to Herrera. You will go to prison or you will die. And he forces him to sign a non-disclosure agreement. And here's what he says about that.
And I have not spoken about it ever since I was able to recently because what the law passed. But that is my account for you guys. This is also an urging for anybody in Washington, D.C. who's a political figure. Please get this under control because there are people who are either being hurt or killed by this. And it's something that needs to be addressed. Please.
So he specifically was talking about the human trafficking piece of this and them using this technology for all sorts of nefarious reasons that are totally off the books. And mm-hmm. These people, these black operators, he's a U.S. Marine and they're taking his weapons away from him. They're and they're roughing him up. Then he has to sign a non-disclosure agreement mm-hmm. as a result of it. Who are these people?
How can he talk now then? Whistleblower protection?
Whistleblower protection. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and he's come forward on that. Next up is Army veteran Stephen Digna. Now, he worked in Death Valley at the live fire facility, and he ended up suffering a brain injury as a result of an explosion. So he started off his testimony by apologizing. He said, I suffered a brain injury due to an explosion at the live fire facility. And so he's like, I need to take things slowly and I need to read off of my notes. So he apologized for that at the beginning of this. He was there that day when a Raytheon craft that he wasn't supposed to see arrived while he was there. Watch his testimony. This is Stephen Digna.
My name is Stephen Michael Digna Jr. The following testimony is true and accurate as it can be at this time to the best of my ability. And I am prepared to swear this testimony under oath before the Senate and Congress. I'm a former sergeant in the United States Army. I began active duty service in 1999, and I served until 2002. In July of 2001, I was observing a live fire practice at eye level from an observation deck at approximately 3 stories high from the desert floor. I saw a craft in the distance at approximately 200 feet off the ground, measuring approximately 172 feet across, strongly remembers it resembling a hovering B-2 Spirit. Once my eyes adjusted, I could make out the general shape of the craft. There were two men from Raytheon present. I pulled out my night vision goggles to get a better look. One of the two men on the observation deck from Raytheon noticed the night vision goggles I had. He went from chattering cheerfully. They were pretty relaxed. They'd seen these before. It wasn't abnormal to them. He looked at me with a very, very severe look of disapproval and anger that I had. At that point, they both went calmly inside, probably a little bit angry, and it felt as though I had crossed the line. I took another look with my night vision goggles. The reason this event was not reported was due to the fact that it was not unidentified. I'm going to repeat this very clearly to the cameras. This craft was not unidentified. This was on our birds, and to the observer controller that called that out on the range, I'm not going to put his call sign out. Roger up, eyes on, hands on confirmation. That's our bird, but she doesn't need wind to get lift. She was hovering stationary. This was, I'm going to interject here. Sorry, guys. This was very dangerous. This craft showed up unscheduled. I got no notification. My job was to maintain command and control and to be the hub and top observer controller for the Tactical Operation Command Center for Live Fire Desert Warfare. That's the largest live fire warfare center for desert warfare on the planet and in history. So any moving objects that are on that desert floor or in those skies are supposed to be coordinated between myself and another group that I directly worked with the civilian personnel through Raytheon and the United States Air Force.
So everything that's on that base, he is supposed to be aware of and know about. And so these Raytheon guys are there on a regular basis, and they're test flighting this Raytheon craft. The point is, like, the deep state and these off-the-books projects that are not funded properly through Pentagon channels in Congress is what's going on here. So someone in the chat was just saying,
oh, my God. Okay. Stop swinging at people in the chat who are saying that you're crazy. Stop it. Because
I was just going to make a comment about someone saying BlackRock.
Yes.
And
okay.
I was going to say, explain what you mean by that. BlackRock doesn't want people to, or BlackRock wants people to know about this.
Okay. You're getting a little breathless over this, and you need to take a break.
All right.
You need to take a breath. Okay. What he is presenting to us here, you guys, is not, we're not trying to definitively prove to you that aliens are here and coming into your bedroom at night. That's not what this is. What we're presenting to you is a whistleblower conference of people saying that the government has technology that is or seems to be otherworldly. Maybe it didn't come from aliens. We don't know. But they're using it to make these sort of supernatural weapons, is what we're being told. And we are asking you to be open-minded enough to consider it. You don't have to explode your worldview for this, okay? Clayton sort of makes it seem like you do, because you're going crazy right now. You need to take a downer.
No, I just want to say thank you. We have a record number of viewers tonight, so I want to say thank you to that.
But they're going insane over this. I'm not skeptical about this kind of stuff at all.
CNN.
It doesn't upset me to
watch,
like,
CNN if you're so upset by it. You know what I mean?
I'm not upset.
Not
but,
you.
But let me just finish.
Okay, you're derailing this, but okay, go ahead. Derail.
I'm derailing it.
I want to get back to the content.
You're talking, you keep swinging at people in the chat
crazy. You jumped down my throat about BlackRock, and I wanted to comment on it.
I didn't say anything about BlackRock.
Okay, make your point.
Okay, I want to say that, you know, the way that this is being received right now is like, oh, Clayton's going nuts and Natalie is the, you know, the sane one. And like, it doesn't explode my worldview at all to think that there are many levels of existence, human and otherwise, that I'm open to everything, pretty much open to everything. I think that, you know, the way that maybe we need to invite our audience to hear this is, are there government operations that are being done illegally based on technology that we did not know existed, and that it will be used for a nefarious reason, and that there are military contractors who are actively going to profit from this? Okay. You don't have to believe that it came from aliens in order to believe that these things happen. Okay. Does that help? Can
sure.
we all agree on that now?
Okay. I mean, people can choose not to believe it, but now we have so many whistleblowers coming forward who've worked on these alien craft and did the reverse engineering.
Like, right. But you're
for us to go,
very...
hold on. It's my turn now. For us to go backwards and go back in time to say that that's not the case, then we're being blissfully ignorant about it. It's so stupid. Why would we go? We now have the confirmation of this. So why are we going to go backwards on that just to placate a few people? You have to break a few eggs to make an omelet. And if there are close-minded people that don't want to hear this, then go watch CNN.
But
I don't give a shit.
You're being so accusational. You don't have to be closed-minded to think, well, I haven't seen enough proof of otherworldly beings, but I'm with you on the technology.
I am
alienating, pun intended, An entire segment of the audience that just has not really given
No. That's not. When someone says something educated, I have a discussion with them. But when someone just yells out in the chat, this is BS. And I say, okay, what do you mean? Please explain. I'm not being argumentative. I want to know. When someone says this is bullshit, I hope that that person has also 40 years of experience
in the
military.
I don't know that we've brought the best proof with us other than whistleblowers today, right now. So,
okay, it's not my job to prove it to you.
I know that.
That's not my job.
Given that that's what we're presenting now is only testament. I do want to hear what you have to say, David. Then, you know, let's just give people a little space to believe and not believe, and at the same time present them with the opportunity to see that there may be your tax dollars at use for some pretty creepy otherworldly type technology that we didn't know we have. Go ahead, David.
Well, and I just want to point out, if you look at through history, all the events that have happened where people put their reputation and their lives on the line to come out as whistleblowers on things, like let's take the JFK assassination as an example. People put their lives, their reputations on the line to say that that did not happen the way that we were told it was. They were marginalized, and for decades, people believed that one person pulled off this thing. There's still people to this day that believe that. So you have to look at what our government has done throughout history. They have lied to us. They try to marginalize and make these whistleblowers look like idiots. And yet at the end of the day, we find out that everything they were saying about the JFK assassination was true. It was factual. Yeah. So it's like you have to keep an open mind to think maybe we haven't seen the evidence yet, but there has to be some truth to it, because these people, these Marines, these military people are putting their reputations on the line to bring you this information. So at the very least, consider it.
Right. And so when you see all of these members of the military who serve their country with distinction, you're saying they're all liars? Like that's what someone's saying. Like that's what people are saying. They're all liars. Every one of them is a liar. So even if a fraction of what one of them have said, even a fraction, all it takes is one thing, right? For it to all be true. And so you want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, just dismiss all of them in this. I have such trouble with that. All of these people who are coming forward, who've had their lives ruined.
Okay. But I'm just asking you to be a little bit easier on people who are saying, no, I don't want to believe this. You don't have to, right?
No. Okay. Let me just say to anyone watching right now, let me just apologize. Okay. I'll apologize. If there's anyone in the chat room that took offense from, if you've, no, see, that's the thing. If someone said, I don't want to believe it, then I'm okay with that. I respect that decision. But when someone just yells out, Clayton, you're an idiot for pushing BlackRock's propaganda. I'm like, am I? Okay, how do you know that? If you know something about BlackRock and their propaganda as it relates to, then come and talk to me about it. I don't know what you're talking about. But there's so many layers to this that you can't just get away with some little sentence like that and then we shut down discussion. It's like calling, you're a racist. Oh, then I guess we can't talk about anything. You're a racist. You know, you're a, Clayton, how can you push? So anyway, I'm not pushing anything. I think there's so many layers for us to consider in this. Like the child trafficking piece of this, the human trafficking angle of this, I had never heard before until this U.S. Marine comes forward and talks about what he witnessed. And then it was confirmed by another member of the military who also witnessed it and saw it and confirmed it as human beings that they were using and trafficking in this. So
can you expand on that a little bit before you show us more videos? Like, what are you saying?
Well, I don't know. And what he saw was these men, because what we know from Tim Ballard and others who've studied child trafficking, human trafficking, is that they exploit areas with great devastation. Earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis, war.
Who's they?
The ringleaders, the child sex trafficker ringleaders. It's $154 billion a year industry. $154 billion.
What does that have to do with otherworldly craft?
I don't know. But they were using it to transport not only U.S. made weapons as well as human bodies, human beings. And in Indonesia, in the forests of Indonesia, where these U.S. Marines were there to bring aid. And this is their testimony, not mine.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know how these craft are being utilized even beyond that for other nefarious things.
Okay. So nobody's saying that aliens are participating in human trafficking.
Let's be very specific. That's what they want you to think. they want, I think, people to believe that aliens are responsible for all of this stuff so that we can start sending billions more to BlackRock and Raytheon and all of these things. I think that's where we're maybe missing each other in flying in the night in this story here, is that this is happening. It's being blamed on the wrong things in order for us as taxpayers to foot the bill for it, to be scared about it. I just
got it.
You know, it's complicated, I know, but I want us to be critical thinkers about this.
And that's what Michael Herrera was saying, was that it was people. He saw people, these
humans
in the, like, dressed all in black, humans were loading this craft.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what he that was from his testimony that we just watched. Yeah.
And using basically a craft that was a reverse engineered version of something we have.
Yeah.
So like an American made craft, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, Boeing, we don't know. So just to be clear on that. Anyway. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make it clear. I'm not mad about this. I just don't want you to keep, like, you know, arguing with people in the chat. I'm fine with all of it. I'm fine with all levels of existing. All of it. I'm going to be a fairy in my next life. Whatever, right?
Look, I spend so much time researching this. I'm happy to argue with people. If someone in the chat has spent as many hours as I have, read as many books on it, interviewed as many people as I have, members of the government, military, as I have on this story, great. Let's have a great discussion about why you think it's not true. I'm all for that. So that's my position on this. But if you're just someone who literally doesn't have any, has no knowledge of this, you're just surfing around the internet one night and you just randomly throw out, "That's BS, honey, get me another beer." Then I'm going to get in an argument.
Okay.
That's what bothers me, is the ignorance is bliss garbage. I can't handle that. I can't handle that kind of stuff. David, go ahead.
Well, I was going to point out too, like the whistleblowers, you know, when those guys come forward like this, and we're talking ex-military, and there's two guys that corroborate the same story, their lives don't become glamorous because they're whistleblowers. It actually becomes hell.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so like they're putting themselves out there in a big way and possibly ruining their reputation, but they don't care because they want to get this information out. So we have to remember that. It's not like they just all of a sudden are, it's like, "Hey, let's do this plan and let's go out and we'll become famous because we'll say this at the same time."
No, most whistleblowers' lives are ruined.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. You're absolutely right about that. So here's Stephen Digna, whistleblower, who's had his life ruined as a result of it. So remember, he saw this Raytheon craft. He saw the members of Raytheon at his facility that he's in charge of, and he didn't know that they were going to be doing this test flight. They didn't tell him. He's in charge of it. Then, a few days later, he's on leave, and he goes with his wife. He's on leave from the base. They're going to go to the movies. And suddenly, a craft appears as they're driving to the movies. They've now pinpointed the GPS location. He's turned this over to congressional testimony, and here's what happened. And he was abducted. Listen to this. If you think what we just talked about was crazy, this is even crazier.
I see was a bright light through all of my windows. And at that exact same time, my car's power steering and the engine's electrical system, everything died, completely died. When I exited the vehicle, I rushed towards the front end of the car, believing there was someone pointing a floodlight at us. I had some words to say to that man. I stepped through a thick field of white plasma that encompassed a spheroid craft. As I turned to go inspect the craft, my wife opened the door, and she ran out towards the front of the car, and she was yelling, "Steve, no." She was instantaneously locked in place in a bright white field of plasma. As I looked at her, I thought to myself, "It's okay, she's in stasis lock." That plasma enveloped her body with about 6 inches. As this thud resonated my body, I felt my molecular or my cells, maybe the quantum level of my body, feel like it was being resonated. I felt like maybe I'm going to be microwaved or something to that nature. Either way, I seen some bands coming through. I began lifting up off the ground. My vehicle began lifting with me also. As this happened, my body tipped back, and I could see the underbelly of the craft. You're going to see that design right in front of you. The rectangular shape right in the center there looked like a docking socket for an electrical port, and I was staring up at the ceiling, and my vision cued into a very, very bright white light. My vision panned over, and there was my wife flat on her back on a table. It was smaller than the table I was laying on, slightly lowered, and she still had the same exact expression on her face, like she was screaming no. However, she was no longer stuck in the running position. She was flat. So after that had happened, I saw a female right next to me. She was taking some samples from me. It was a human female. She had red hair. She had very fair skin. After that moment, I also As I panned over, I could see the window and the desert behind me. I realized we were not in space. I could see the desert floor. I could see the exact two rock formations and one far off in the distance. So this is pinpointed by GPS coordinates.
So the final whistleblower, Eric Hecker, is going to be a guest on our show. I spoke with him today. He worked for Raytheon. He's a Raytheon whistleblower. He worked at the massive military base in Antarctica at the South Pole. He was working at the South Pole station. And he explains that the base in the South Pole is actually a giant air traffic control tower that monitors all of the interstellar craft that are being operated by humans, as well as non-humans. He explains that when they first fired it up underground, because this is massive, it actually caused the devastation. Well, he doesn't say specifically, but it when this happened, when they fired it up for the first time, suddenly there was a massive earthquake in New Zealand, the Christchurch earthquake. And he says he believes that it did cause this earthquake in New Zealand. Watch this.
I have already given all pertinent information and supporting documentation to the Senate Intelligence Committee and ARRO. They informed me that all of my information will be recorded for public record and shared with Congress. It is that important. In 2010, I was selected to go down to the South Pole Station in Antarctica for an entire year by Raytheon Polar Services as an employee of a third-party contractor for the National Science Foundation. I function in a dual-role capacity as a tradesman and a firefighter. My responsibilities required me to be more informed than most of my crew and offered me complete access to the facilities. What I learned from this unique experience needs to be shared with the entire world. The technology at the South Pole Station certainly can do what it is presented as its primary purposes, and unfortunately, much more. The Ice Cube Neutrino Detector is presented as a passive listening device for the purposes of the science as presented. But I'm going to skip right through the chase, folks. I have provided documentation that proves that the 5,160, what they call DOMs, that are embedded in the ice can actually transmit at 2,047 volts each. That gives us a long list of things to consider. It is effectively a multifaceted directed energy weapons platform that I will list rapidly a few things that it can do. Vehicle detection. We're learning that these off-world craft, on-world craft, ours or other nations, are also emitting neutrinos. So this makes the South Pole Station effectively an air traffic control station for this new level of equipment that nobody's discussing. In addition to the ability to detect neutrinos and the exotic vehicles, I have provided documentation that shows that this is also a system for faster than light communications. In the past, Gary McKinnon has hacked NASA, found the off-world fleet, the list of captains, and it's apparent that if we have faster-than-light vehicles moving throughout the system, we're going to need faster-than-light communications. This is that facility. Unfortunately, I have other bad news. The season that I was there, 2010 to 2011, we converted from construction to operations and maintenance in both the elevated station and the detector array. Unfortunately, when they first fired it up, that was when we had the earthquakes in Christchurch, New Zealand. There's two incidental shots before they were able to target it correctly. This is an earthquake-generating device as well. This is the weapons of war that we have to deal with now and what Raytheon's hiding. I witnessed myself a very powerful green laser shooting out of the top of this facility into the cosmos. This, I believe, is a secondary form of long-range communications and or a defense system. I am not saying that we need to be scared of anything that's out there, but please understand the military industrial complex is happy to invest all of your money in alleviating their fears.
And that to me is the bottom line, right?
Yeah.
So they're happy to take all of your billions, make you scared of something, make you scared of some nefarious, whatever, alien, fake alien invasion, and lie to you about it. When in fact, we've been doing it for 80 years, 60 years, 70 years of reverse engineering these craft. And what's at really the heart of it is the military industrial complex, and it's the deep state that wants to continue these nefarious projects. And finally, there are a ton of crimes being committed here, and we shouldn't lose sight of that. So wherever you come down on this story, it doesn't really matter. people's lives have been ruined and massive crimes have been committed here.